Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the opportunity to get together and to worship you. Father, I just pray that the words that come out of my mouth today is you and not me. Father, just fill me with your spirit, and if I say anything not of you, let it fall on deaf ears. Amen. Good morning. I know you guys just saw me up here last week. Don't let me go 2 weeks in a row this time. Last week, as some of you may recall, we talked about sharing our faith, but we talked about it in what's the cost of sharing our faith? Not our own personal costs, but what does it cost others when we don't share our faith? We talked about the fact that we have friends and family who don't know Jesus, and if we're not willing to share our faith, where they're going to end up. If no one gives them that opportunity to learn, they end up in hell. We're very blunt about it. And that's where we were at. This week, I want to go a little bit further about sharing our faith. But I kind of want to look into ourselves a little bit more. And seeing how we handle it for ourselves. And our relationship with Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 4 is where we're going to be camping out this morning more than anything. Verses 1 through, I believe 6 is what I have. Yep. Therefore, since we have the ministry because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. Instead, we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their cases, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God glory to the face of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 is where we're going to start off. Therefore, since we have this ministry because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus because of the mercy that he has shown in each one of our lives. And because of that mercy, we all have the opportunity to be saved. Can you remember what your life looked like before you discovered the saving grace of Jesus? Can you remember a time in your life where you didn't walk with him on a daily basis? For some of you, it may still be happening today. You may still be growing into that knowledge. For some of you, it's been a long journey. Some of you guys have some great stories of the transformation that God has done in your lives. Some of you have struggled with alcohol or drugs or other kinds of addictions. And you've got these great stories of the transformation, what God has done. Some of your guys' transformation may not seem as big and as instant as others. Some of it may be more subtle. Maybe you grew up in church your entire life. Maybe you heard the gospel presented over and over again. And it was finally in that one day where it just all clicked. Sadie Robinson from Duck Dynasty, for an example, she said it was at 17 for her. She was 17 years old where it finally clicked in her head. She grew up in church. She grew up in parents who were leaders in the church. Her grandpa's a pastor. Her dad's actually an ordained pastor as well. And going through, but it was finally at 17 that she clicked in her head and she understood that it wasn't just an action or anything. It was a relationship with Jesus. But see, the thing is, a lot of times when we grow up in church and we're going week to week, we start putting this heavy pressure on ourselves. We have this idea in our head of what we're supposed to look like as Christians, and if we don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's what we pursue. We try to be good enough. We try to do all the right things. We try to make sure that we memorize different scriptures. But the problem is we're not understanding what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the Pharisees at the time, when Jesus was talking to, the Pharisees and the teachers at the time would set all these rules up, and as they'd grow, they'd just keep adding more and more rules to the point that nobody could actually ever come close to upholding them. And they just continue to burden the people over and over, and Jesus is telling them, no, come to me. This is easy. Come to me. It's not uncommon that some of this even happens still today. We start saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. If you want to be saved, continue on to it. And it's actually quite simple. Jesus took the burden of our sin the day he hung on the cross. You know, I had a student one time tell me that, Tim, I really want to be saved, but I have a problem. I said, what's that? She goes, I can't remember all the rules. See, the way she was raised is that there were all these rules she had to follow, and it wasn't by the grace of Christ that she was saved. And she just could not get that through her head. She's saved today, by the way. She understands now. A lot of times we overcomplicate the gospel, though, by sharing half-truths. Instead, we need to boldly teach the whole truth of the gospel, so that everyone can experience Jesus for themselves. To be able to enter His presence and to read His Word. There is something powerful about picking up your Bible on a daily basis, entering in God's presence, sitting there, praying, and studying, and allowing Him to teach you through His Word. So many of us miss out on that, on being able to open up and read. And a lot of it's just because we don't want to. We have the Holy Spirit within us to teach us those half-truths and full-truths. And that's why we read the Bible with Him. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, instead we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the Word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of truth. This one really got me as I started digging into it and I started thinking about it. You know, you see all types of gimmicks and stuff constantly used to try to share the gospel. The problem is when these gimmicks and stuff are used, a lot of times half-truths are presented within it and they want to hold back. Sometimes even for us, when we're talking to someone who we know is openly living against God, they may not understand that they're openly living against God, but they are, to the point that we don't want to share the entire truth because it may scare them away. See, even in Paul's time, there were preachers and teachers already doing that. And we have the same thing today. Did you know whatever your view of God is in your head, you can find a theologian or a teacher or somebody who will teach you that way. It may not line up fully with the Bible, but you can find somebody that will teach it to you. Because let me tell you what, not everybody's view of God is accurate. There's a couple ways that we can find out if our view is accurate. Does your view include a view of God of both the Old and the New Testament? Does it pick and choose Bible verses? You know, so many of us, we like to pick out Bible verses that fit our view of God. And we just kind of dismiss the rest of them. Maybe it's because it doesn't seem so nice. Maybe that particular scripture just, man, that doesn't seem like a loving God. Or maybe you prefer to throw it out so you have an excuse to keep sinning. Well, that doesn't fit my worldview or my view of God, so that way I can keep doing this. I don't believe God would do that. Maybe it's because you can't believe an all-loving God would let people go to hell. Maybe it's because you don't want to believe that a loving God is going to have a day of judgment. Maybe it's because it goes against what you were taught growing up. Maybe it was the denomination or the church or the pastor you had growing up or your parents' view that just got passed down. So So if you go against that and you read it, it makes you uncomfortable and you just don't want to acknowledge it. Is there parts of the Bible that make you uncomfortable? If your view of God is that there's no area in the Bible that makes you uncomfortable, you might want to revisit that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's views inside the Bible, there's scripture in there that make me uncomfortable. But I know it's the Word of God, and that's what I am called to uphold, what I'm called to teach, and what I'm called to follow. It doesn't matter what the world's opinion is. Because at the end of the day, my judgment day, I have to face God, and I can't say, well, the world said this. He's going to say, but I told you this. You know, last week we spoke a little bit about Noah. And it was just him and his family that survived the flood. And if we think about it, that same thing. You know he was made fun of. You know he was persecuted. But at the end, he was the only one who made it. And I always remember that little passage, his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. You know, when I say we can find teachers out there willing to, there's so many of them that just, they don't want to offend anybody. They're just trying to gain a bigger and bigger crowd. They're not willing to speak boldly. But you know what? When we listen to him, man, you sure do feel good when you walk out of there. I'm a good guy. You know, there was actually a teacher while back on Larry King. And Larry King asked him point blank and said, is Jesus the only way to heaven? His exact answer was, well, you know, that's not for me to say. Well, actually it is. This word tells you that it is. Ultimately, if your view of God is not the view of the same God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, you might want to revisit that view. In verse 3 in this passage, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If we are holding back from the full gospel, we're veiling it to people who need to hear it. It is our job to tell the whole truth, and it is their job to make a decision on whether or not to follow Christ. So many times we like to hold back, again, because we don't want to offend, but the truth of the matter is, how can God's Word do His work if we don't speak it boldly and in full truth? It continues in verse 4. In their case, the God of this age has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. And I think it's very important that we point out here, in the word God here, it is used in the beginning in a lowercase g. Who Paul is referring to is the God of this age, and it is not the God in heaven. It is the devil and his minions. Out there blinding them. And he's done that since the beginning of age. Look at Genesis in the beginning. In Genesis, you have the devil coming up to Eve and saying, did God really say you can't eat of this fruit? Did he really say you can't eat here? He's been doing it from the beginning, distorting and confusing people. We have to remember in Ephesians 6:12 it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the darkness, against the evil and spiritual forces in heaven. Folks, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but is against the devil and his minions. He is trying to deceive the world. He's the king of deception. We have but one truth, and he has all the deceptions out there possible. He doesn't care what way you turn as long as you don't turn to God. As long as you don't turn to Jesus. Now verses 5 and 6. In 2 Corinthians 4. For we are not proclaiming ourselves but Jesus Christ as Lord. And ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, has shone it in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me read that one more time. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And it's like John the Baptist said in John 3:30, he said, I must become less so that he can become greater. Same thing for us. We need to become less so that God can become greater. We need to become servants for Jesus' sake. Have you guys seen a new Christian who discovered Christ for the first time? The joy, the freedom they experience at that moment in time is something so infectious. It is so wonderful to see the jumping around and the joy and everything else. And then I've also seen older people come along, that'll wear off. Why does it need to wear off? They have the Holy Spirit. They have discovered that moment in time and they should be joyous and excited and we should be excited with them. That newfound freedom, the grace in their life. Do we understand that God is what we are proclaiming? Do we understand who He is? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 9:10, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. How many of us fear God anymore? The world doesn't. Do us as Christians fear Him anymore? Do we boldly go out and let Him be first in our lives to show through? In the Old Testament, it's got a beautiful picture of the high priest when they enter the Holy of Holies once a year to give an atonement for the sins. And this is why Jesus came to die on the cross, because that atonement could never fully forgive. It was just to hold off until that death on the cross. But what I found interesting is when he started digging into it, is they wore the simplest of clothes when they entered into the Holy of Holies. They basically wore nothing but the same garbs that the slaves would wear. They're entering into the presence of God as a slave. And that is that same thing for us. We are a servant, a slave to Christ. But they feared God so heavily that they would actually take a rope and tie it to their ankle before they walked into the Holy of Holies. They would have a bell on their ankle as well. So the people outside knew that if that moment came and they wouldn't hear the bell anymore, he died in God's presence and he had to pull them back out. They feared him that much they were willing to put the rope on because they knew nobody else. If the high priest couldn't enter that room that day, there ain't nobody else entering that room to pull him out. They feared God that much because his presence can be that overwhelming. And I'm scared today we no longer fear God. We no longer lift him up at that level. In Isaiah chapter 6, we see an account of Isaiah seeing God. Isaiah, a man who loved God and such an affectionate person. And it's verses 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated at the high and lofty throne, and his hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. They each had 6 wings, and 2 were covering their face. With 2, they covered their feet. And with 2, they flew. And the one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth. The foundation of the doorway shook at the sound of his voice, and the temple was filled with smoke. And I love Isaiah's response here at that moment in time. He entered into the presence there and he saw this. He says, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among people of unclean lips. And because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. In his presence, Isaiah felt destroyed. When was the last time that you sat in his presence and you just let yourself die to self so that God could be greater? When was the last time you just opened this word and sat there and read it over and over and asked the Holy Spirit within you to speak to you? Isaiah was a well-regarded man. And even him, he's sitting here, man of unclean lips. He doesn't find himself worthy to stand in the presence of God. And in John, same thing. In Revelation, some of you just finished up the book of Revelation. In chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, we see John walking into the in front of Jesus. And when it says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man." Think about it, folks. These are people who wrote books in the Bible. Things that we're studying. And they don't find themselves worthy to stand in front of God alone. And yet we go out and we act like it doesn't really matter. I've memorized a few scriptures. I'm good. When the truth of the matter is, this is why we're called to pick up our cross daily. Die to self daily. And allow God to reign in our lives. Keep one thing in mind. I know that's a lot of heavy stuff to think and process through. But we serve a God who is rich in mercy. And He wants to forgive you. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And yet He loves you. He asks us to surrender to Him because He loves you. And He wants to give you the best that He can. And all we have to do is die to ourselves daily and allow Him to rule in our lives. I think there's a passage in Colossians that wraps this up beautifully. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." When we stand in front of God on judgment day, He will see Jesus inside of us. And that is what gets us into heaven. It is not your own actions. It's not what you've done here on earth. It is you allowing God, Jesus, to be more in your life and standing in front of God, and He sees that is what gets you your pass. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for the opportunity we have to study Your Word. Father, help us as we go out this week to proclaim Your Word more boldly, to be more passionate about what You've done in our lives so that others may see You in us. Help us to die to ourselves, so that You may reign more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.